Hello, and welcome to our podcast of Leaders for People. My name is Jeff Shepherd, and today my guest is Dave Mattson from the tech industry over, what, 3 decades now, Dave?
It's approaching world. That, yeah.
Amazing how time goes. But today we're going to be talking a little bit about the importance of prioritizing people. And not just from the human component of it, right? I mean, basic morals of being kind and good to people. Obviously, we all strive for that, or at least we hope that's the goal out there in society. But how do we bring this into the workplace when we talk about looking out for our organizations? We're all held to an accountability of profit and unit production, whatever the measurement is, whether we're in a service industry or production industry, we have measurements that we are held accountable to and stockholders, and all of those things. So as a leader, some people might just refer to themselves as managers, but that's what we want to get away from. Are we just managers or are we truly leaders? And we can be both. Uphold what's best for our organization while also doing what's best for people. And this doesn't mean not holding them accountable or having standards. It's quite the opposite. It's how do we effectively communicate those in a way that's not do this or you're fired, but do this and we grow together and have mutual success. So today we're going to talk a little bit about and get some input from Dave and his experience in leading programmers, developers for various companies and having success in that, in both being a leader and at times a follower, as we all are, and kind of what became best practices. So very interested in to dive into this with you, Dave.
Thank you, Jeff. So I've been leading and managing for almost 30 years now. I still haven't figured it out. So I think this will be a good conversation and we'll see where it takes us, but nothing has been solved yet.
And I agree with that. And I think that's maybe even one of the hangups with leaders. When I was 20 years ago, I call myself a young man in my mid 20s and was fortunate enough to have an opportunity coming in as a sales leader. And man, looking back now, I realize what a mess I made of it, but I also learned a lot of great things. And even today, what makes me a better leader, not a perfect leader, but a better leader, is growth mindset. Right. And, I think what's important for people to remember is that leadership is human too, right? Sometimes we look to our leaders as they're in the role they're at because they're perfect. They've reached this pinnacle. They have all the answers.
They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And if you and I can attest, as we're in our 40s now, it's like that old saying, the older we get, the more we know, the less we know. But I just made that up, but you know what I'm saying. we this realization that we don't know as much as we think we did, especially in our youth.
Yeah. And I had that realization 10, 15 years ago, working with a CEO of a company, and I just felt that he knew everything and he knew exactly what he was doing. And I came to realize he had no idea what he was doing. He was figuring out day to day, just as we all are. Mm-hmm. And he was struggling, but he would learn and move on and just keep moving forward. And so that really opened up my eyes of it's okay to not know everything because you don't. And if you're in a spot where you know everything, you're not pushing yourself. You're not moving forward. You're not trying to grow.
Yeah.
Embrace it when you're in that little sweet spot of you're a little bit panicked because you're not sure what's happening, but you can keep moving forward.
Yeah. And I think that is, I mean, that is key, right? In being willing to step away and say, hey, let me figure that out. Let me do some research on that and get you a proper answer. I've always felt like, you know, especially in my younger years, I had to answer on the fly. I had to know this, you know, people would come at me with random information and my job was to answer them as quick as possible instead of maybe sitting down and saying, hey, let me hear you out. Let me, you know, what kind of ideas do you have? What's your perspective? Okay, great. Let me think about this and let's reconvene in the morning. We don't, you know, sometimes we put ourselves in these positions and some answers are critical, right? And you have to. But for the most part, you can step away for a minute and say, hey, you know, let's take a moment and circle back around in the morning. Why don't you come up with some ideas and I'll come up with some ideas and see what it leads to.
Right. And I think taking that another level is to help employees, have that awakening experience too, by just straight up being transparent that you don't know, you don't have the answer. And then talk through what your process is going to be to help explore that. But also it gives the employee the confidence in themselves of they also didn't know the answer and that's okay.
Yep. In I'm sure you're familiar, Kuznets and Posner's The Leadership Challenge. You know, they talk about exactly this. Look outside of your experience. So it's on page 155. And it talks about a manager in a digital marketing company. And she was known for asking lots of questions. This is the quote from the book. One of her direct reports described her as unrelenting in her questions until she completely understands whatever is being discussed. As an important rationale for doing so, the manager said, that she's always trying to clearly understand situations from other people's perspectives. And it goes on to say, essentially, the cool thing about that is that, you know, as a leader, I would think, okay, well, now I look incompetent, right? I look like I'm asking all the questions of my employees. They must think that, you know, I don't deserve the role I'm in or that I don't know what I'm doing. And really this segment from the book goes on to say, quite the opposite, that the employees had more respect for this manager because she took the time to ask questions and learn about what other people's viewpoints, perspectives, what knowledge they had to bring to the table. So I thought that was really cool that, you know, again, looking outside of our own experience, right? Everyone has different experiences in life, whether it's background, cultures, just life experience. So similar to what you were just saying is that it's okay to step away and say, hey, I don't have this answer today, but, you know, how do you feel about it? You know, what would you do? Those types of things. So.
And going back to asking questions, one of the tricks that I've embraced is along the lines of asking questions. So there's the saying of there's no such thing as a stupid question. I disagree. There's completely stupid questions. And I'm the one to ask those. Like if we're in a meeting, I'll just be up front asking the stupid questions because I want to make sure that I can completely understand what is the thing being discussed. Now, if we just left it there, I would look not great sitting in the corner just asking stupid questions.
Right.
But my philosophy is keep at it until I have a complete understanding of the problem at hand. And then from there, I can now be more effective at providing solutions or guidance, et cetera. But it's that initial hurdle of you got to ask the stupid question. You have to reveal your ignorance that you don't know some fundamental of this thing. But just ask and you'll get
very interesting.
You'll get knowledge that you didn't have before.
And I love that approach because it also makes other people in the room, and maybe you've had this experience, it makes other people in the room more comfortable than to also ask their question that they thought was going to be a stupid question, but it gets more things on the table. Do you see that as a result maybe of that approach?
Yeah, it makes it okay to have that growth mindset and to keep pushing at things you don't understand, to make it not taboo.
I love that, especially in a role as being a leader, and coming and being the one that comes into the room and starts asking basic questions. Cause sometimes, you know, I know that as I've been in those kinds of meetings and with VPs and CEOs of companies, and I'm afraid to ask anything because I don't want to look stupid in front of them. But you know, I think we all come to realize at some point that the question we have is the same as everyone else is thinking. And maybe it's a clarification thing, or maybe it's a, hey, we never thought of that thing. And so I love your approach as being a leader that actually comes in the room and starts asking those types of questions, really opens the door to make everyone feel comfortable and start, you know, having their input. So.
Yeah. It's surprising the things that will come out on those basic level questions. Yep. It can spark whole new conversations or different approaches.
Right. So really, I mean, it comes back to another topic that I wanted to bring up in this episode. And I think this kind of segues into that, to what you were saying, is that there's a quote in this same book here, The Leadership Challenge, page 309, that leadership is not accidental, bestowed, or inherited, but leadership is a deliberate, thoughtful process that is about lifting the people around you. So just a very basic thing. This doesn't have to be profound with some big act of leadership, but just the little things, like you mentioned, walking into a meeting and being willing to be the first one to start asking the questions to really start clarifying. And it doesn't have to be this big, profound question. It can just be the simple things to get people comfortable opening up. So do you feel like that's, do you kind of make that your purpose now when you go into a meeting, be the first one to do that? Is it almost like a little game or a challenge to yourself to get things going?
Not necessarily. I'll read the room and try to see,
okay,
what are we trying to accomplish? If everything's flowing well and people are just collaborating excellently and reaching that goal, just let it keep going. But if things are stalled, or I can tell there's a very big disconnect between different people as to what is the problem, then yeah, I'll start to ask more fundamental questions to guide that.
Excellent. Nice. I want to shift gears a little bit in relation to this quote that I just mentioned, and talk about a personal experience that I had, and maybe just get some of your input on it. This happened back in my early 20s when I'd been in the industry of construction, specifically flooring supply, wholesale supply. Really since I was a kid, I worked with my dad and his remodel company. And, so basically because of my experience in the industry, I ended up with an opportunity, to become a branch manager of a wholesale supply company in Seattle, and, was given a general manager position. And so I came in to this branch that already had an existing location, and there was about five employees there, a couple warehouse folks, and two or three that worked on the sales counter, and collectively they had like 30 years with the company. So here I was coming in as their new boss, new to them, with some industry experience, and you know, I came in with my agenda, and day one I sat everyone down. And I had all my notes and pretty much told them, this is the way we're going to operate, in my experience, right? And basically doing exactly what this quote says not to do, you know, feeling bestowed or inherited this branch because of my vast knowledge in the industry. And, you know, not surprisingly, that was not taken real well. In fact, one of the employees quit within the first week, and the rest of them quite quickly were pretty much short with me in every interaction. I could see them talking amongst themselves, kind of behind my back. It didn't go well, needless to say. And as I'm sure you can imagine, and really it took you know, the assistant manager to come into my office one day and close the door and basically say, hey, look, dude, I'm going to be moving on unless some things change. And so it was in that moment that we were able to have a heart to heart. And really, I probably learned my most important leadership lesson ever that I still carry with me, you know, 20 years later, that I was completely backwards when I came in on day one. Instead of putting out my agenda, this is how we're going to do it, I had a wealth of knowledge around me that already knew how to run the business. And really what they were looking for more than anything was for me to sit down and ask them their agenda. What was it that they felt was working prior? What was it that they felt they needed support on? And so really now, you know, that would be more my approach in coming in as a leader and kind of what you said of walking into the room and being the one to start asking the questions. And like we heard before of this well-respected manager, her whole philosophy was understanding others and their perspectives and coming and asking questions. So leadership is a deliberate, thoughtful process that's about lifting the people around you. So just kind of a little experience that I had. And I mean, have you had any experiences that kind of revolve around something like that, either whether you either were just the employee or you were the leader, but you know, what have you seen in your experience?
So I've been brought in a similar brand new to a company as a manager of two different teams. And I had a different experience than you did, not necessarily better or worse. But the way, so I look at it in a few different ways. One, you were brought into that role for a reason. Like you were hired with a specific goal in mind for this is what we want you to do as a leader of this part of the organization. And so it's your job, your task is to achieve that. Now, how you achieve that is complex. You came in one way with your plan, your solution already in place. And then obviously, or clearly, that was met with resistance. Because you're just forcing it down their throat. But I think you can't go completely the other direction and just ask and listen. That also won't achieve the result. You have to find this balance of understanding the people, understanding the current things that work and don't work. But you still are looking at it through that lens of, I need to affect change to achieve whatever this end result is. So you're collecting those inputs. You can use those things more effectively because, oh, there's things that work there. Let's continue that. Let's embrace that. There's good insights from these people. Let's go and run with that. But you'll also discover that there's gaps and weaknesses and mistakes that using your experience, you can then start to address and fix up and change. So a different model I've used to view my role as a leader and what I'm doing, working with either an individual or a team or the company or my management, a three-part Venn diagram. So the three lobes of this are the company, the person, and I use the product, but it could also be the customer, is that third lobe there. Ideally, all the actions that people are doing are in that center overlap. Like these things, people love, the employees love, the customers love, and it makes the company successful. But practically, there's lots of items that we do that isn't in that perfect overlap. And I think it's important to recognize that those things are still useful. So like on the people side, like what do your employees care about or concerned about, or where do they want to go in their careers? It may not line up with what the company wants or with what the customers want, but you still need to support that person as an individual. Conversely, there's business things that the employees don't want and the customers don't care about, but the business needs it to happen. So that's part of your job, is to, you know, do those tasks as well.
Well, it's interesting, if I can interrupt real quick. I mean, it's interesting that you say that, because you're exactly right that sometimes, so in this example, you know, this assistant manager, he'd been there for 10 years, the one that kind of came in and enlightened me. And I did learn a lot from him, but I also learned that he'd been passed over on this promotion, that he thought he was going to be the next branch manager. And he had been told that from the company for like the last 3 years prior, knowing that this other gentleman was going to retire, which is what happened at a certain date. And he was just assuming he was going to take that role. And so then all of a sudden, here I am, I show up in this seat, right? So you can imagine his frustration. So to your point of getting that out on day one, right, or week one or whatever it is, that, hey, what is your goal? What is your vision with this company? And sometimes they don't align. But don't you think he would have appreciated hearing that 3 years prior, that, hey, look, there's a chance you could be, but it's not guaranteed. And other things may come into play. And then at least he feels empowered to make his own decisions in his own path. So, I mean, do you think that's kind of falls in line with what you're saying, is that sometimes it's not all about, you know, oh, great, this is what you want, we'll make that happen. Sometimes it's like, look, I understand that, but that might not happen for you here at this company.
Yeah, I'm 100% for being overly transparent. Mm-hmm, I'm still trying to find where that balance is.
Right.
But I'd err on the side of being more transparent than less. And then treat employees like adults. I'd rather they hear the bad news. Yeah. Like, let's give them some bad news and then allow them to process and deal with it and, you know, react, rather than keep it sheltered from them. Now, the one of the areas where I haven't found that balance and transparency is when there's impending layoffs, or the company financials are, you know, looking not good. And it's hard to, I don't recommend being 100% transparent with your employees to say, yeah, the company's just about to collapse, because it's completely demotivating and scary and they'll panic, and flee.
Have you been in that situation? And I mean, how did you handle, were you on what side of that were you on?
I've been in that a couple of times. And the first time I tried to be overly transparent with the employees, and that just bit me in the butt, because they panicked and, the company pulled through. And so all that panic and stress, was pointless. It was a negative. And the second time I completely kept it internal and, laid myself off.
Nice. Quite noble of you.
Yeah. So the team didn't have to worry about a thing. They all remain employed. And maybe they could read some of the tea leaves as to why I just disappeared.
Sure.
But yeah, neither of those were the best way to handle that, but I'm not sure how. But I think so far my best solution is have a history of being transparent and honest. And so you can talk about things much earlier, and so that they're not going to be freaked out when big changes happen.
Yep. No, I think that's great advice. I mean, again, as leaders, we're going to make mistakes. We're human. But if you have a track record, like you just said, it really hit home for me, a track record of being transparent, you know, and having integrity and trying to do what's best for your people, mistakes can and will be made, but what is the track record, right? That they're used to, you know, look, we know that Dave has always been upfront with us and honest with us and tried to be real and human with us. And so, you know, we can quote unquote, forgive him in this scenario when he does misstep or whatnot.
That's interesting. So I actually start that relationship on day zero during the interview. So when I interview candidates, I will spend a good portion of that interview convincing them not to work at this company.
Wow, interesting. I like that approach.
I call out all of the warts, all of the issues.
Like, there's been just a few companies I worked for where I wish that was their approach.
Exactly.
It like, wouldn't have been the blip on my resume.
And some people will choose to run away screaming like, no, they don't want this role at all. And other people will come into it eyes wide open, fully understanding what they're about to encounter, but they're not shocked. If you don't do that, they're going to start on day one and they're going to be shocked and upset. Like, oh gosh, what did I just do?
Yeah.
So here, no, we're, it is a collaborative thing. These are our issues. We want you to come on board and help us with these. Sure. It's going to be a struggle, but we all need to work together. So that type of transparency and honesty, I think, is a two-way thing. But building that relationship from the very get-go is very useful.
I like that. And I mean, this kind of coincides with one of the practices. There's five practices of this Kuze's and Poser's Leadership Challenge. One of them is strengthening others, right? And so essentially what you're saying is that by being honest, open and upfront with them, and you're really, what you're doing is making them feel a part of the organization, that yes, there's leadership and accountability and there's things they have to answer to, but it's going to be an open and honest dialogue. Some things you're going to like what you hear, others you might not, but you're also free and able to give your input, right? As an employee, there's a list here on page 223 and it talks about things that make people feel powerless. And then on the flip side is people that make things that leaders can do that make people feel powerful. And just a few bullet points from the powerless side is I had no input into an important decision that affected how I did my work. No one was interested in, listened to, or paid attention to my opinions or questions. I mean, this is exactly what I wish I had this book 20 years ago. It's exactly what I did when I walked in and said, this is my agenda. This is my experience. This is how we're going to do it. But I like your blend. You know, I kind of went completely the opposite way, going, all right, you guys run the show then, and you got the experience. But I think you made a great point. There's a blend here of allowing people to feel heard, and allowing them to feel like they have input, while also holding, you know, some accountability of what the final goal is, which in most company is profitability for the stockholders. Let's just be honest, right? So, so I think it's important of having that dialogue of give and take. I was given responsibility, but no authority to hold others accountable. Information essential to my work was withheld. We talked about that, that, you know, unless maybe it's a impending layoff situation where you're bound to confidentiality, but, you know, just giving people the information and the autonomy to do their job, right? We hire them, you know, you mentioned trying to scare people away, but this is what you're getting into. And if you sign up for it, then we're going to hold you accountable to it. And this is going to be, you know, I don't want to have to babysit you essentially as a leader. It's what you're setting the stage for, right?
Now, just to clarify, that doesn't justify or make it okay to have a completely crappy work environment. But it's,
right.
You're always striving to have a positive place to work, but there's usually going to be issues. And so, yeah, just being transparent about what those issues are and that you're still working on them, but they're going to be present.
Yep. Yeah. And of course, exactly. So of course that flip side is what does make people feel powerful is the supervisor told others about the great work I was doing. So recognizing people, that's a whole nother podcast. In fact, it'll be my next segment in the next episode is what we can do to make people feel appreciated and feel like they're actually contributing at work. And that's really, as humans, that's what we want at the end of the day. We want to be part of an organization that we really feel that we contribute to and that we matter to. And when people come in with that type of confidence and that type of feeling, then when the conflict does arrive, It allows them to work, you know, us collectively as a team, as an organization, to work through those things.
Right. It builds resilience on the team, which
100%. And I love that. Dave, it's been a pleasure. That's our time today. But thank you so much for being here. Your insight has been invaluable. And on our website here, leadersforpeople.com, you'll find some resources. Really, our goal here on this podcast is to share knowledge amongst leaders, talk about the times we've failed. Usually it's those moments we've failed that we learn the most from, but and really just be a wealth of knowledge to where we can accomplish two things: create stronger organizations that bring profitability to the business and keep the business alive, and number two, doing that in a way that still lifts people up and not treating them just like a number or a position or a role, but truly as a human being, because they are our future leaders as well. Someday, whether we like to admit it or not, Dave, we're going to become old and gray. Oh, wait, maybe we already are. But there's a new generation coming behind us, and we want them to also be leaders that are empowering. So
I look forward to
it. Thanks for your input. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Take care.